It'll knock your head there. Amen, amen, amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate that. Anybody need a worksheet? Did not get a worksheet. Just slip your hand up. Just slip your hand up. I got a few down front here. Got a couple over here. Just keep your hand up until you get one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. That's where we'll begin this evening. Working our way through the book of Ephesians. Far side there, Sean. Down front here, one more, Sean. Doof, down here. Running out? You got to get some more? You guys got some more? No, wait a minute. There should be more than that. There's more. Okay. All righty. I made extra this time. I did. I made extra. I appreciate you being here. That's good. All righty. Ephesians chapter 5, we're talking about the church. The church is the body of Christ. It's all of us. You're saved, you're part of the church, you're part of the body of Christ, and God is using us to do His work. He said, greater work shall we do because He goes to the Father. Sends the Holy Spirit down here to work through us, through every believer. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, let's read, and we'll go through verse number 10. It says, be ye therefore... And of course, when you see therefore, you want to know what's therefore. It's everything we've talked about in the first four chapters. First three chapters, of course, tells us who we are in Christ. We're the body of Christ. We're sealed. We're redeemed. All those wonderful things. And then we get the more practical parts there in beginning in chapter 4 and 5 and 6. And so he's getting very practical here. He says, because of who we are, what God is trying to do through us and with us, therefore, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God and for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Let me stop here. I think a lot of folks say, well, they think, well, I'm a Christian, and really, you know, I mean, I'm not up front. I'm not the preacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. So does it really matter to all that much what I actually do? Yes. Yes. Let it not be once named among us. One of the greatest hindrances to the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ is Christians who don't act like it. They don't behave like it. By the way, we're not supposed to be acting. We're supposed to be real. But that's the biggest hindrance of all of us. It shouldn't be named once. Look at verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. What's he saying? Stop acting like the people who aren't saved. That's what he's saying. We're saved. We're not supposed to have all this mess in our life. And he says, because the folks who have those things in their life, that's the ones who aren't saved. Now, if we're saved, we ought to act like it. People say there's something different about that person. Well, I don't want to be so peculiar. Whoa, he says, you are a peculiar people. We're supposed to be different. Now, it's not out putting on a show. It doesn't say, look at me. It's simply saying there's something different about this person. There's a compassion. There's a kindness. Even to those who are the erring ones, there's a love. There's a grace. We are to be what Christ is. It says verse 6, says, let no man deceive you. Now, don't get off track. Don't let anybody get you off track and change from what we're saying here. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, what? Fornication, covetousness, uncleanness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting is not convenient, all these things. For these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, we're supposed to be followers of God as dear children. But he says, wait a minute, are you children of God or are you children of disobedience? Are you a child that obeys what daddy says you're supposed to do? He says, you're going to get in trouble. By the way, your kids get in trouble when they don't obey daddy. The wrath of daddy comes down on the children of disobedience. We're getting in trouble. But he said, you don't get to God this way. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. In other words, why do we want to get in on their wrath? He says the wrath comes on those who disobey. So why in the world would you want to get in on the wrath? I don't want to get in on the wrath. I got something here I'm going to step on here. Excuse me. There we go. I was going to crunch, and I didn't want to crunch. We don't want to get in the middle of that. Now, look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. In other words, that's where you used to be. But now are ye light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. How's that? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, not wickedness. Goodness. It's not in the fornication. It's being the faithful partner, married partner. It's not in uncleanness. It's not in covetousness. It's not in filthiness. It's not in foolish talking. It's not in jesting, which is not convenient. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Demonstrating what God really is and what He wants. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about being just like Daddy. Just like Daddy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for your willingness and your love and your mercy to save us. Thank you for allowing us to be your body, to be your representatives here on earth, to have that ministry of reconciliation. Lord, forgive us when we forget our calling and we stop walking worthy of our vocation. Lord, I pray that you'll work in our hearts here tonight. You know, Lord, that I want our area here, when they think of Lighthouse Baptist Church, they think of there's people who walk like Christ. We're not here to grow the church, I understand. We're here to draw them to you. But Lord, I don't have a whole lot of influence on everybody else around this area, but Lord, we can have influence on each other here. We can encourage one another to walk as Christ walks, to live as Christ lives, to love as Christ loves. And we ask for your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to endue us with your power tonight and speak to us. And we'll give you all the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, I've mentioned we're the body of Christ on the earth. Jesus said, the greater work shall we do because it goes to the Father. But he did say, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and that's good. But they were supposed to wait and yield to God until the Holy Spirit had all of them. We have all of him, but he wants to have all of us, control us. Now, the church is made up of souls from all over the world, from many nations, many walks of life, many cultures. Somehow, God wants to make one body from all these parts. And we need to come in the unity of the faith. Every one of us needs to be part of this unifying body. And if we're going to be unified, we need to think much alike. And so we need to put off the old man and put on the new man that we have in Christ. So God has given us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying and the building up of the body, so that we can do the work of God. Now, the Lord willing, we will eventually be enough like Christ that others will see Christ through us. We will be bringing glory to God, showing God for who he is. That's what that means, to show him for who he is. Now, and we'll be thus lifting Jesus up. And if Jesus be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. And so the fact is, we become like our Father. We need to be like our Father. We had a little bit of time. The staff went out with Brother Bias. He was very gracious. And we got to talk about his son's a Green Bay Packer fan. You know why his son's a Green Bay Packer fan? Because Daddy's a Green Bay Packer fan. And so the fact is, you know,
Kids like to be like their daddy. They like to be like their daddy. We should want to be like our Father, and our Father is God. Now, remember that. How many people in here with an honest heart can lift your hand up and say, I know I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I have no question about it. Would you lift your hand up there? I know I'm saved. Well, we're all family. Put your hands down. We're all family. Your Father. In fact, Jesus, he told him after the resurrection, I go to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. Can you imagine Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, standing right there and saying, I'm going to my Father. By the way, he's your Father too. They watched him live as a child of God, as a son of God. He said, now he's your Father. We need to be like Christ. Let me give you number one on your paper. We are to be followers of God. Followers of God. Now, let me do two things here. I want you to see the first part. The first verse says, be ye followers of God. Verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's the last part of our passage. That's why we're supposed to be followers of God. We are to be followers of God so we can prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. To show the world what God is, who he is. And not only that, to draw them to him. Ephesians 5:1 says, be ye therefore. That word be itself means cause yourself to be. It's not. It means you got to make a decision. Cause yourself to be. Decide you're going to be a follower of God. If what we've said is so far as true is therefore, then here's what we need to do. We need to be followers. Look at the word there, imitator. An imitator, a mimic, to do just as one ahead of us is doing. Be ye followers of God as dear children, beloved, loved Father, as the offspring of the Father, as dear children. We are born again. We are children. I'm going to walk off this thing, I'm afraid. We're born again. We're children of God. We're his offspring. We've been born. We have him in us. I have my daddy's genes, but I have the Holy Spirit in me as well. The Holy Spirit is life. And so we are his children, and we're supposed to follow him as dear children. Now listen, when you've got a little boy who thinks his daddy's Superman, you know what that little boy wants to do? Everything daddy does. If daddy's into Green Bay Packers, he's in the great Green Bay Packers. If he's into Eagles, then the kid's in the Eagles. If he's into Steelers, then he's into Steelers. If he's into Cowboys, he's in the Cowboys. You knew what was coming, didn't you? And listen, forgive him. He know not what he doeth. But anyway, the little boy wants to be just like Daddy. You ever seen those commercials? If Daddy wears a cap, he wants to wear a cap. If Daddy has his overalls on, he wants to wear his overalls. If Daddy works in the shop, he wants to work in the shop. If Daddy's a ball player, he wants to be a ball player. He wants to be like Daddy because he loves. Listen, God loves you with an everlasting love. There's no father. Sometimes I think we don't understand how much he loves us. Be as dear children, beloved children. Listen, do you admire your father? Remember this, what we do represents our Father. You carry his name when you call yourself a Christian. In a certain way, when you walked in this door, you now carry his name. Oh, that's the person who goes to church on Sunday night. Well, they go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You would think they'd be like a Christian, wouldn't you?
We carry his name. I'm Sterling Walsh, Jr. I said it at my dad's funeral, and I've meant it. I've been proud to carry my dad's name. He was a good, honest man. People all over that Carroll County, Maryland, I mean, they probably weren't going to tell me if they had a bad word about him, but I don't know whether there was much of a bad word about him. My mom used to say, don't you mess up your daddy's name. Well, let me tell you, folks, don't mess up your daddy's name. People judge God by who we are and by what we are. So, well, he doesn't judge me. I'm not the preacher. I'm telling you, people judge God by what we are. If people are going to get a proper assessment of God, then we need to be as much like God as we can be. Because you see, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Do you know what happens when we don't live like we're supposed to live? People think that's what God thinks is acceptable. Or at least is what you think God thinks is acceptable. We have a great responsibility. Let me give you number two. What should our daddy be like? Well, number two, we should have our daddy's heart. We should follow our father, mimic, imitator, be just like him. We should have our daddy's heart, and God is. There it is. God's love. Now, he's not pushing truth aside to love. But he loves in spite of the truth. He knows who we are. Look at verse 2. He says, well, I'll go back. He says, be ye followers of God as dear children, verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Years and years ago, some of us old folks remember this. Back when they still advertised, they stopped advertising cigarettes on TV. There was this commercial where this little boy, he sat down next to his father, I don't know, on a curb or something, and daddy took his hat off or something like that. He took his hat off, so the boy took his hat off. The guy. You know, he kind of did something else. The little boy did exactly what he did. And then the guy took out a cigarette, put it in his mouth, laid it down, and the little kid then picked up the cigarette. And they're saying, listen, you better watch out what you do because there's little ones following you. Wait a minute. That applies on a lot of things. We're supposed to be dear children of God. I think that we're going to owe some atheists an apology. Now, they're accountable for their own decision. But I think there's going to be some folks in this world, when we get to heaven, they're going to say, you know what, I never saw Christ in you. I didn't know what that ever meant. All I saw was the way you cranked all over your kids, or the way you did this, or the way you tried to, you got extra change you got one time, and you took it, and you knew it, and you kept it put in your pocket. That time you cursed at the guy who cut you off. I thought, well, you're no different than I am. So why bother with all the rules? Why bother with going to church? Why bother with all that mess? He says, we're supposed to walk. That means to go through life. It's just the way you live. He says, verse 2, walk in love. That word in is a neat little word. In a fixed and constant position. This is your disposition. How do you live? In love. In that agape, godlike love, looking to be a blessing, looking to and fro, wanting to show yourself strong on the behalf of others. Huh? From this morning. God does that. That's who God is. If we want to see him to see God, well, then maybe that's who we need to be. Looking to and fro who we can be a blessing to. Walk in love.
as Christ also hath loved us, given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. It's a sacrificial love. And he says it's a sweet-smelling savor. You know what that means? You know what a sacrificial love is? That's something that doesn't stink. It doesn't stink to high heaven. It's something that's pleasant to the senses of God. 1 Peter 1:22 says this. You have it on your paper. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. In other words, no hint of insincerity. It says you've grown up. You've grown up so much like your father, you have true and sincere love for others. See that ye love one another with a pure heart, clean feelings, clean intentions, fervently. That means on purpose. Love them on purpose. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. In other words, you're a child of the Father. Well, my daddy was a drunk, and his daddy was a drunk, and his daddy was a drunk. I know, but your daddy now isn't. Listen, you've got a heavenly Father who's working. He's inside you. He wants to do something. Let's yield to the Spirit, not yield to the flesh. You don't have to live there anymore. So you were born of a seed that's incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 John 3:14, you've got it there. It says, we know that ye have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. How do you know you're saved? Because you love each other. I'm not saying you agree with everything they said, but we don't have to be disagreeable. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be nasty. We don't have to be back-talking everybody else. We don't need to be talking behind the back. We're one family. I know families where there's still grown children. There's bickering between the grown children, but they stop when mama or daddy comes in the door because they don't want mom and dad to know that they're bickering. Well, your daddy never leaves you. He knows if you're bickering. He says, "Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it." I'm 55 years old. My sister's older than that. But the fact is, when we're down at my mom and dad's, I'm still her little boy. It's hard for her to say, "No, Sterling, stop, you know." No. Every once in a while, she'll still correct me nicely. Not usually in front of you guys, but when I'm back there by myself, you know, I've been down back and forth a few times, and I've said some things, and she said, "Well, you probably shouldn't do that." And anyway, it's just how parents are. Listen, we don't want to disappoint our parents. 1 John, it says, we know that we've loved and passed from death and life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Do you have a sacrificial love, or can you just not? Listen, that's just not working for me. I'm done. Are folks seeing your daddy in you? Are folks seeing your daddy in you? You know, your kids become an awful lot like you. They really do. Sorry, kids. But your kids become an awful lot like you. They pick up your habits. We got a picture of my father, a video of him, talking to my oldest son, Sterling. He was having some kind of car show or something. He wanted him to do something. And we couldn't see. I had the camera. It was shooting down, 100 yards down the way. And he's talking. I was down at the SWORD conference, and I was talking to somebody, and I was getting kind of wound up, and I did. I thought, "Oh, my soul, I'm channeling my father here." Just amazing. He says, we can perceive Adam Collette. I came across him in the back here, and he walked in, and he started to introduce himself. "You're a Collette." Just look at him. You can tell. You can just tell he is. Looks like his dad. No, it looks like, he looks a lot like your mom. You really do. You look a lot like your mom. You really do. I can see your mom all over you. But anyway, here's how we perceive that we're Christians. We favor our father. We know the love of God is working us and through us when we're willing to sacrifice ourselves for others. Hereby perceive the love of God. Lay down our lives for our brethren. How much are you willing to take for the sake of others? That determines how much we are like our daddy. You know what? Every single one of us has already stepped on somebody else's toes along the way. So your toes have already been stepped on several times. How much are you willing to take? That's how much you're like the Father. Because Jesus was willing to go to the cross. It doesn't say we know we're saved because we come to church. We have the world to see Jesus. Well, no, I'm a Christian. Wait a minute. It doesn't say they're going to know that we're like Christ because we come to church. They're not. It doesn't say that we know we're saved because we sing in the choir. It doesn't say we know we're saved because we clean the church, or we hand out tracts, or we work in the bus ministry, or we help in RU, or we teach Sunday school, or we do the kids club. If we love others, we probably will be doing something to bring others to Christ and are teaching them to observe all things. But on the other hand, just because I do those things, it doesn't mean I'm saved. Matthew 7 says, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The one main true indicator of being truly saved is that we love others unconditionally. Does your wife know you're saved? She'll know it by your love, your unconditional love. Didn't mean you agree with everything, but you can love. Does your husband know you're saved? He'll know it by the love. Hey, do your kids know you're saved? Or do they just know you have a lot of rules? They'll know by your love. Do your neighbors know you're saved? Do your parents know you're saved? Hey, I'm not just talking to kids. You may be grown. Do your parents know you're saved? Or do all they know is you've got a lot of rules? There's folks in here that are first generation Christians who have parents who aren't saved yet. And we've told them, that's what I told them. You know how they're going to know you're saved? By the way you treat them. By the way you live. By the consistency of your life. Not self-righteousness, but a loving consistency. We should have daddy's heart. Number three, we should have daddy's habits. Number three, we should have daddy's habits. Letter A, watch your manners. Watch your manners, your behaviors. Look at verse 3. It says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." Got to come down here to do this. All right, here we go. Got to pick on a son-in-law. All right, here we go. Ready? You're closest. You say, "Hey, what you hit me for?" "I didn't hit you, my hand did." You say, "Well, that's stupid." "Well, I didn't do it, the hand did it." But the hand is a member of the body.
ye are all members of the body of Christ. To the world, they see us as one. There are churches who've done crazy things in the name of Jesus Christ, and we've taken the heat for it. Westboro Baptist Church out there, all the crazy things that they've done, and we take the heat for it because we happen to be called an Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. Get the point, sometimes almost ashamed to be called an Independent Fundamental Baptist Church because of the way they've destroyed the name. I'm not ashamed of being independent. I'm not ashamed of being fundamental. I'm not ashamed of being Baptist. But the fact is, they want to lump us all together and throw us all in the garbage. But wait a minute. You're a member of the body. What you do, so well, I'm just a little finger. Yeah, but I can poke somebody in the eye with a little finger. Well, I'm not the preacher. I'm not the Sunday school teacher. I'm not assistant pastor. I'm not the pastor's wife. I'm not any of these things. I'm not a deacon. Well, it surely shouldn't matter. I don't care what you think, of whether it should or shouldn't. The fact is, you're part of the body of Christ. You go poking somebody, the whole body gets blamed. Each one of us, all of us, are part of the bodies of Christ. The actions of one of the members of the body impacts the reputation and the effectiveness of the entire body of Christ. I can ruin it for you, and you can ruin it for me, and we can ruin it for that person, and we all ruin it for Christ. And the worst thing is, the one who's unsaved is the one who loses the most. Look at that verse 3. But fornication, unlawful sexual activity. You know, that is so common these days that a lot of Christians don't even think about it. Any kind of unlawful, against God's word, any of it, all uncleanness, impure, lewd, filthiness, or covetousness. In other words, not honest in business. Living to get all of the things of the world that they can get. Living with a temporal attitude rather than an eternal attitude. They want, they want, they want, they want, they want. It's not wrong to have. It's wrong to want it until it's more important to you than what God wants for you. If we could handle it, maybe God would give us some more. But on the other hand, we sang in the song. He weeps. Listen, he still loves the erring one, because there's not one of us who hasn't messed up somewhere along the way. I'll guarantee you, since the Bible says that in a multitude of words there wanteth not sin, there has been somewhere along the way I've said something from this pulpit and you went, "Oh, Pastor, I wish you wouldn't have said that." I'm sure. And in fact, it's all of us somewhere, something has come out, "Ooh, I wish I could catch that and put it back in." You hear some words that, "Where'd that one come from?" "Oh, that's right, it was me." We bind up one another's wounds. We forgive one another, we go on. But watch me. My little finger did something wrong, or that's my hand smacked him. Bad hand. Cut it off. I'm not going to cut off my hand. I'm going to need that hand. Well, that hand hit him. Well, I know. We'll teach it a little better. You messed up? I'm not throwing you out. Teach you a little better. You help me, I'll help you. Did wrong. Okay, we did wrong. Confess it, forsake it. Go on. Be a work of grace. Watch what God can do. He says, listen, let it not be once named among you. If we're going to bring glory to God and show what He is, we can't be living like a sinful man and showing what we are. Are we supposed to be seeing Him? We're supposed to see us. He says, it shouldn't be named. There should be no connection.
That's the goal. Is it going to be like that? Probably not perfectly, but that's the goal. He says, as becometh saints. That word means, so it makes you look good. It looks sharp. In other words, not talking about your outfit. He's talking about your demeanor. He's talking about your heart. He's talking about your habits. Now there's a Christian. I've known good Christians who hardly had two dimes to rub together and couldn't dress up. That's not what we're looking about. That's not what we're looking for. But there's a grace and a glow. You ever meet somebody such a Christian that just have a glow about them? It'd be a wonderful thing. We're not just putting on a show. This is who we are all the time. At least it's supposed to be. This is our default mode of action. Being like a Christian. Letter B. Letter A, watch your manners. Letter B, watch your mouth. He says, be ye followers as dear children, followers of Christ. Letter B, watch your mouth. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. He says there's filthiness. He says, here's some more things. Filthiness, shameful, vulgar, base things. Junior high boys' locker room. That's usually where that's about. That covers a lot of it. He says, "Nor foolish talking." This wasn't my definition. This was Strong's. It says, "Stupid, absurd, of no good use." Looking at somebody and saying something just kind of drags them down. Laughing at them, poking, causing issues, causing problems. He says, or jesting. That means sharp-tongued witticism. Boy, I bet when you were born, your mother smacked your other hand, didn't she? Or when you were born, you were so ugly, the doctor smacked your mother. Now we laugh. But I tell you what, we can get to the point where it's not good. When I do messages about marriage and so forth, guys do this more often than girls, than ladies do, but they show attention in a negative way. And I've seen guys who just rise on their wives. You know, they complain about her cooking, do this, this, do that. And she just knows I'm just joking. The first time it was so absurd that you said something like that, she laughed with you. And then you said it again and she smiled. And now when you do this, she just kind of nods and walks out of the room. It's not convenient. In other words, it's not getting you where you want to go. My husband's so lazy. It's not good. Listen. Well, she knows I love it. No. Now, I don't mean you have to lose your sense of humor. Just clean it up. Do it in a positive way. You don't have to beat everybody up. You don't have to run everybody down. That's not Christian. That's what he's saying. You can be kind. You can have fun. I beat up on Darren. What was that? Nathan had to sit beside of him in the choir. And I said, I'm sorry. You know. And, yeah, there you go. Forgive me. But everybody knew it was a joke because they know I think the world of Darren. And you can get away with that, but the fact is you got to be careful. In fact, sometimes the only time men talk to their wives is in a negative way. Sometimes every time a wife talks to her husband in a negative way. Do you realize that people see that? You get out there at McDonald's and everybody in the world can't go to McDonald's without seeing three or four or five people. I can't go to Walmart without seeing three or four. If I go to Walmart, it takes me 45 minutes. It takes me 2 minutes to find what I want and 45 minutes to get out, which is okay. I'm glad to talk. But what I'm saying is there's people who know you. I had a guy tell me one day. He said so-and-so from your church was over there, and I was in Lowe's. And you know what? I'm not blaming this person. I'm not blaming the church member for anything here. But said that person saw me, looked right at me, and didn't even say anything. Well, the person had been visiting the church about 3 weeks, and the person that he was talking about was somebody. It wasn't me. One of my staff guys was somebody that was visible when they walked in the door and talked to people. They were visible, and he said he didn't even say hi to me. I'm thinking, come on. But the fact is, it just proves that people do see us. They do make a connection, and they do say, well, that's what Christ is. I either want it or I don't. He says, watch your mouth. He says, it's not convenient. It's not. He says, we have some things that's edifying. He says, but rather of giving thanks. Have you ever noticed there's some people who are just thankful for everything? No matter what you do, it's good, it's all right. Well, I got to do so-and-so. Well, this was good, and you know what that means? They're living by the fact that all things work together for good to those who love God or called according to His purpose. And they're trying to live for and love God. So they figure, well, I don't know what it is, but God got something in here. Oh, me. We're all going to die. Sky is falling. We're doomed. Wait a minute. Maybe the sky is falling. Maybe the earth is doomed. But if you have Christ in your heart, we're going to heaven. Amen. Naked we came into this world, naked we're going to leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now I know it's easier to say that when everything's going fine, but I'll tell you what, you start walking with Daddy enough, you're going to find out He's good all the time. God's been good in my life. Blessed beyond my wildest dreams. I go to sleep. Listen, He's good. Got to have Daddy's heart. Got to have Daddy's habits. Number four, we should have our Daddy's hope. Our Daddy's hope. Look at verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You say, well, where's the hope? We're saved. We don't have to live like that. And of course, living better doesn't mean isn't getting us saved. But wait a minute. Verse 3 tells us, fornication, all uncleanness, covetous, let it not be once a name, just become a saint. That's right, for we know, and because of that, he says, because no whoremonger, not someone who's looking for the opportunity to be involved in fornication, someone who sells him or herself or willing to trade eternity for the temporal, that person doesn't have eternal life, it doesn't have inheritance, nor unclean person, that impure person, likes the demonic, likes the, hang on, the wicked TV shows that full of evil activities. I'm sorry, listen, you can't watch this stuff. It is going to destroy you. 90% of what's on that TV, that boob tube, is not worth looking at. It's going to corrupt you. I'm serious. I was flipping through channels as men do. And I was flipping through channels, and all of a sudden this thing came up, and it was two women standing there, and they were standing there talking. It still bothers me. And the lady on the younger lady on the side had an older lady there, and just we were standing there watching, and they said and they were looking at the sky, and while they were looking at the sky, this lady picked up a machete and did this with the person next to her. And you saw the blood go from her neck. And I'm sitting there, move, change.
Don't fill yourself up with that stuff. Listen,
I love you, even if you do. I love you. I'm not beating you up here. But for your own good, don't watch that Wayward Pines and a lot of this other crazy stuff, the vampire stuff and all this. Don't get into that.
There is nothing of value in that stuff.
I'll be honest with you. You can get mad at me. I don't watch the CSI stuff. I don't need to see a bunch of dead bones and all this stuff and all this stuff. Think about who murdered here and here's how they did it.
We're teaching the whole world how to have the perfect crime. And we wonder why we have so much more crime.
We say, well, people see that stuff and, well, you know, they won't want to do that. No, they're drawn away of their own lust and enticed. And when sin is when that lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin was finished, it brings forth death. Listen, there's so much stuff that puts stuff, minds and ideas in people's heads. Don't go there. We're Christian. We've got better things to do than that.
I'm sorry, that was free.
But listen, don't do that. There's so much of that stuff. It says, no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man looking living for the world who is an idolater. In other words, one who lives for the things, the possessions of this world. One who worships the treasures of this physical world has to have the latest thing when the world is offering. I'm going to get in trouble tonight. I'm not going to stand out in the weather for 2 days to get the latest iPhone. I'm not going to spend 2 nights out in the street to get in to see some tickets to see some kind of movie. It's probably not good for you. Listen, I bet you don't sit out here for 2 weeks waiting to get in church to hear the Word of God. Now, I know it's hard for me to compare to all that mess, all that stuff. I'm certainly not as good looking, but listen, where's our heart? Listen. Who is your God? I'm not asking if you slipped into some sin and then you were truly ashamed before God for your sin and you confessed and forsook and found mercy. That happens to every one of us. It should happen less and less and less and less and less and less and less. I am saying that your way of life is living for this. If your way of life is living for this world and for getting all you can out of this world, and this temporal pleasures, we got problems. If your hope for joy and happiness is in the things of the world, then your hope for joy and happiness is not in the things of God. Then you apparently, you don't really know God, because if you did, I think you'd see things differently. Live with an eternal perspective, not a temporal perspective. We should be able to honestly look forward to our inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. We have His hope. We have Christ. We have eternal life. We don't have to live in the gutter anymore. Our hope for inheritance as Christ should override any desire we may have for joy, for season on this earth. Jesus says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross so that we could be saved. Don't allow anyone to tell you different. Look at verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Listen, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Go back to Proverbs. Huh? They're going to tell you this is the way to be happy. You've got to have this. You've got to have this. You've got to have that. Are we Christians or what? If we're following everything for the... Listen, that's what's wrong with looking like the world, folks. We're saying, I can't be happy unless I have what the world has. Well, if the world just got it, then that means no one in the world could have ever been happy until now. We give ourselves away. If you're involved in worldly passions such as these, he says, you can count on experiencing the wrath of God on your life. In other words, splinters, snags, problems, issues. It's going to be a problem. And then he says, please do not get involved with these. Look at verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Just don't go there. Just don't do that. It doesn't make us better.
I'm not more righteous because I haven't been to a movie theater in 45 years. I've been 40 years. It has nothing to do with it. I'll tell you why I don't go there. I don't want to get mixed up in that mess. I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to be mean. You do what you got your own house. I'm getting in a lot of things here tonight. But listen, do they know you're a Christian? You know, it's more important for them to know that you're a Christian, what God is, even if there is nothing wrong. I mean, we've seen Toy Story. We've seen Up. We've seen, let me see here. Oh, I don't know. There's been several things that, you know, when they were in the movie theater, I know, you know, Cars, you know, Toy Story 2 and 3 and, you know, I've seen those things. I know. I don't even look to see where they are in the theater because I just don't want to get in. I don't want somebody thinking that I'm going to that other theater over there where they're showing that R-rated movie. In fact, give you one more than that. I don't want to get there and see that R-rated movie, one of those places where they have multiple theaters, and say, you know what? No one's around here. They don't see. I'll just slip over on this one instead. I don't want to go there. Make no provision for the flesh or place for the devil. Our heart should be in such a condition that our habits are naturally of a certain sort that we know we have an inheritance coming our way. You can live with a smile of our Father upon us. We should have Daddy's heart, Daddy's habits, Daddy's hope. And last, we need to have Daddy's holiness. Daddy's holiness. Look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. In other words, this is the way you once were. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Look like the Daddy. If you're saved and truly have the light of Christ in you, then make use of the light and stop stumbling through life in the darkness and making bad decisions and bad choices and bad turns in life. You have the light of Christ. Walk in the light. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. We're supposed to be bearing witness of the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then he says, ye are the light of the world. When people see your light, who do they see? 1 John 1:5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We can tell who's our daddy by where we walk. Do we walk in the light or do we walk in the darkness? Is what we do is right or is it wrong? It's according to His Word. And it goes on, look, if we live according to the Holy Spirit, we're going to have His habits. What's His habits? Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, gentleness, faith. That's how they see the Father. And verse 10 says, proving, displaying, showing, displaying what God approves of, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, well-pleasing, showing what God approves of. Our lives as the body of Christ should be a constant demonstration of what God likes and wants to be known to all the world for being. I can't tell you how many people, when I was little and running around with Dad, would ask this question, But when my dad passed away, we were dealing with these cars and so forth, all these antique cars. One of the first questions that they would say, "So I guess you liked cars and stuff when you were growing up too, didn't you?" And the fact is, I did. I restored my first gas engine when I was 8. You know, I don't know why they let me do that. I was running a steam boiler in public when I was 12 years old. You let the water go down that thing, the whole thing blows up. I don't know, but I mean, I was doing it for a long time. And they just assumed, you know, you're like your daddy. I know you love your daddy, so you probably wanted to do what your daddy wanted to do. And the fact is, I enjoyed all those things, and there's some things that I haven't quite been able to bring myself to part with. The last engine that I restored was the first engine my dad had bought when he was a kid. It came out of Smitty's Junkyard across the road from his farm out in Snyersburg. I don't know if you remember that. But out on Snyersburg Road, Smitty's Junkyard. And he had this old Doro pump engine, and it was a really neat little thing. And I saw that thing in the attic all my growing up years. And so I was actually growing up, and went on a summer project. And he said, "Well," I said, "do you mind if I restore?" He said, "Yeah, go ahead." That's the first engine I ever bought. And it was a lot of fun. But you know what I really liked about gas engines and antique cars and stuff like that? I was with my dad. I mean, I enjoyed all that stuff. But I was with my dad. And you know what? When you walk in the light, you're walking with him because he's in the light. Now, it's real nice. It's fun the way God blesses you when you walk in the light. But I tell you, the sweetest thing about walking in the light is that you're walking with Daddy. It's a special thing. Don't look at, we got to go to gas. I remember thinking, okay, I got to stand here with Dad and listen to him to talk to other guys about gas engines or cars or whatever it is. But I was with Dad. The boring part kind of disappeared. I mean, I like all those things. I like to drive in a good car, and I do. I enjoy this kind of thing. I grew up with that. Some of you know Mom allowed me to take the Corvette that Dad had left over there. It's sitting in my garage, and I drive it. But you know what the most fun part about it is? I think about Dad when I drive it. Sometimes I talk to the Lord and say, "Hey, tell Dad so-and-so." There's a sweetness. And God wants that. He wants to be your daddy. We know we are God's children by the way we mimic God in our lives. And if we know we are God's children, then we know we also have an inheritance coming. And as children of God, we should be imitators of our Father, wanting to be just like our daddy. We need to have his heart. He taught me something. My dad taught me something. I, be honest with you, I know the Lord enhances it, but he taught me something. My dad was no better than anybody else. He didn't care who you were, how bad you looked, where you came from. My dad talked straight with anybody, anytime. I was telling my wife, we went from my mom's house to West Virginia on Friday night to pick up my son. And I had been out some roads across there. I hadn't been on for years. And this has popped up, and this has popped up, and this has changed, and this is here, you know, and this is gone. We came around this one turn right near Snyersburg Road. Belinda Lighty, Bowerlines, lived out there. But anyway, there was a house down a corner there, and it kind of went up around the corner. And I remember coming back from Westminster. I guess I was probably 10 years old, 11 years old, the age of some of these boys down here. And we came across an accident that had just happened. And two guys had rolled this car, and the car was on its top along that bank. And Dad said, "Oh, my soul, someone just wrecked." And we pulled off the side, and so you stay here. I'm not sure what I'm getting into. And he went out there, and these two boys were just drunk as skunks, and they had rolled the car. And they were kind of cantankerous and this and that and the other thing. And Dad's just dealing with them. He just knew how to deal with people. He got him calmed down, got him aside, got him to sit down and so forth. And go, my buddy, you know, he's in the car. He said, I know, he's all right. And he got him calmed down. One of them grabbed him on the shoulder. And we got home, this great big pile of blood, you know, on his shoulder. And he had compassion. He went down to that little house and called the ambulance. And they came out. And we stayed there till they got there. We all have our daddy's heart. Our daddy's habits, our daddy's hope. We're joint heirs with Christ. We have inheritance in heaven as sure as Jesus does. Think about that. And we ought to have his holiness. If these things are in us, they're going to say, I know who his daddy is. And when you go up to them and say, would you like to be part of the family? We're going to have a whole lot better chance of bringing them in. Father, speaking to us, we thank you for doing a work in our hearts here tonight. Use these words and your spirit move. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand together.